Chapter 13. The Need for a Strong Family.
One day, everybody on earth died and went to heaven. So God came and said, I want the men to make two lines. One line for the husbands that controlled their wives on earth, and the other line for the husbands that were controlled by their wives. Also, I want all the wives to go with Saint Peter. Well, with that said and done, the wives were off with Saint Peter, and sure enough there were two lines. However, the line of the husbands that were controlled by their wives was 100 miles long, and in the line of husbands that controlled their wives, there was only one man. So God looked at the men in the line 100 miles long and said, You men should be ashamed of yourselves. I created you in my image to be in control, and you were all whipped by your mates. Look at the only one of my sons that stood up and made me proud. Learn from him. Tell them, my son, how did you manage to be the only one in this line? And the man replied, I don't know, my wife told me to stand here.
Now at first glance, that guy appeared to have it all together, didn't he? But when all was said and done, he was just as lost as the rest of the men, wasn't he? And when it comes to married life, how many of you can identify with this feeling of being lost? Sometimes we appear to have it all together, but if the truth were to be known, we're having troubles just like everybody else. And I guess that's why one guy said that his secret to a successful marriage was that twice a week he and his wife go to a nice restaurant and have some good food and companionship. She goes Tuesdays and he goes Fridays. But seriously, is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden? Folks, I'm here to tell you that the answer is absolutely not. Yes, Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, and along with this, they also blew the chance of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is that even though you and I may never have a perfect marriage, it doesn't mean that we've got to resign ourselves to a life of personal pain and silent suffering. It just means that it's going to take some time and lots of work. Why? Because folks, marriages aren't made in heaven, they're made right here on earth. Therefore, we're going to take one last look at the steps for having a marriage built to last. We already saw the first step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge that marriage is under attack. The second step was to acknowledge that men and women are different. The third step was to acknowledge that love is an action. The fourth step was to acknowledge the need for romance. The fifth step was to acknowledge the need for communication. The sixth step was to acknowledge the need for reconciliation. The seventh step was to acknowledge the need for honor. The eighth step was to acknowledge the need for intimacy. The ninth step was to acknowledge the need for biblical men. And last time we saw that the tenth step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge the need for biblical women. And there we saw that if marriages and society are going to be put back on the right track, then we need women who will be supporters. And not just any supporters, but ones who are nurturing, respectful, and encouraging. But people, that's not the only thing we need to be aware of. The 11th step in building a lasting marriage is to acknowledge the need for a strong family. As we've already seen, having a successful marriage today isn't as easy as it used to be because it's being attacked by society, right? Oh, but that's not all. You see, people today are not only trying to redefine and downplay the gift of marriage, but now they're attacking that which often follows marriage, that of having your own family. For instance, Richard Pryor said, "Family is a mixed blessing. You're glad to have one, but it's also like receiving a life sentence for a crime you didn't commit." Or another guy said that, "Some family trees have a tendency to bear an enormous crop of nuts." And granted, there's probably some truth to those statements, but what we've got to get through our heads is that it's not only strong marriages that keep society from falling apart, but strong families as well. Therefore, to protect our marriages and society from falling apart, I think we'd better take a look at some practical ways to maintain a strong family. And the first practical way to maintain a strong family is by sharing your problems between each other.
Genesis 2:22-24. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to Adam. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one.
Now, according to our text here, one of the very first things you need to do when you get married is to leave behind your previous family and get busy creating your own. You see, one of the fastest ways to weaken your marriage is for either one or both spouses mentally or emotionally refuse to leave their parents' home. And one of the biggest signs to indicate when a spouse is doing this is when they share all their problems, not with each other, but with their father or mother. Instead of learning how to deal with your own unique challenges in life as a new family, some couples never get around to cutting the old umbilical cord. But folks, if you refuse to cut the cord, All you do is invite all kinds of discord with the in-laws, like this couple had.
There was a married couple who had been driving down a country road for several miles without even saying a word to each other because earlier they had a discussion that led to an argument and neither of them wanted to concede their position. Well, soon they passed a barnyard of mules and pigs, and out of the silence the wife sarcastically asked, "Relatives of yours?" And the husband replied, "Yep, in-laws."
Now, how many of you would say that couple probably had some serious problems with their in-laws? And it was affecting their marriage, wasn't it? But fortunately, Brandy and I don't have that problem. I mean, after all, she's got wonderful in-laws. But seriously, has anyone ever wondered why so many people have so many problems with their in-laws? Could it be that the newly married couple has refused to leave and cleave? And folks, when this happens, it not only creates all kinds of problems for the marriage, but it starts creating wedges in the family. However, this leaving and cleaving principle doesn't mean that we can't ever share our problems or ask advice from our parents. Hello. If you don't want to learn everything the hard way, then you might want to pay attention to those who've been there and done that. But what it does mean is that you probably shouldn't share every single little thing that goes wrong, especially personal issues between you and your spouse. Why? Because right or wrong, guess whose side of the argument the parent is going to fall on? Their own child, right? And so now what has happened is that the son or daughter-in-law is going to get the cold shoulder or the evil eye during their next visit, right? And why is that? Because somebody didn't leave and cleave. Therefore, if you are going to seek parental advice, then you'd better be in agreement and you'd better not do it behind each other's back. Why? Because if we're ever going to maintain a strong family, then we've got to share our problems between each other, not just our father or mother. The second practical way to maintain a strong family is to show your dependency upon each other.
1 Corinthians 11:11. Nevertheless, in the plan of the Lord and from his point of view, woman is not apart from and independent of man, nor is man aloof from and independent of woman.
Now, according to our text here, another thing a couple needs to do when they get married is to leave behind their previous identity and get busy creating their own. You see, the Bible's plan for marriage is that the couple becomes one flesh, or in other words, they're to be dependent upon each other, not independent from each other. And this one flesh principle used to be common knowledge in our country. But not anymore. Our society is telling people not to become one flesh but two independent islands. They're saying not to be dependent upon each other but maintain your independence from each other. And what most people don't realize is that this is yet another way to weaken your marriage. Society's marital declaration of independence is actually causing the great divide in many marriages. And how is this done? Thanks for asking. The first way it's done is by being verbally independent by using words like I, me, my, or mine. For instance, we can say, this is what I want to do, or this is my car, or this is what works best for me. But people, when we get married, our decisions aren't just what's right for he or she, but for the family. The things you owned prior to marriage no longer belong to you, they belong to the whole household too. Oh, but that's not all. The second way we declare our independence from each other is by being physically independent. For instance, we can refuse to change our last name or insist on having two separate checking accounts or even preparing that prenuptial agreement, you know, just in case things don't work out. But hello, things are never going to work out if you start your marriage off with these kinds of independent actions. You're just asking and waiting for it to be sabotaged. People of God, if we're ever going to maintain strong families, then we've got to show our dependency upon each other. We've got to become one unified flesh, not two separate islands. And the third practical way to maintain a strong family is to start creating your own memories together.
Ecclesiastes 3:1-2:4. Everything on earth has its own time and its own season. There is a time for birth and death, planting and reaping, for crying and laughing, weeping and dancing.
Now, according to our text, time is not only valuable, but time is also required for the various special moments in life. And that's why one of the best things a couple should do when they get married is to leave behind their previous memories and get busy creating their own. Folks, another surefire way to weaken your marriage is for either one or both spouses to refuse to spend time with those at home. And why is this? Well, think about it. When do we experience some of life's most touching moments and greatest memories? Isn't it when we take the time to be there at a birth or a death of a loved one? Isn't it when we take the time to laugh and cry together as a family? And folks, whether you realize it or not, it's this sharing of our time together that naturally bonds us deeply together. And get this. The more bizarre or unpleasant the experience, the better. Let me show you what I mean. One day, my wife and I bonded very deeply together in Sacramento when we decided to spend time together by going for a nice drive on a warm summer day. So there we were, approaching the last major intersection before heading out into the country, and we had the windows down so we could enjoy the nice summer's breeze. And I could almost sense a romantic memory just about to be created when suddenly my wife began screaming at the top of her lungs. Instantly full of adrenaline, my first thought was that either we're about to be hit by a semi, a plane is going to come crashing out of the sky and kill us, or my wife finally lost it from listening to all my corny jokes. But being a logical non-emotional guy, my keen eye observed that a bee had flown into the window, stung my wife, and was now in her lap. So I did what any red-blooded American husband would do, and I grabbed my wife's purse and started beating her with it, to kill the bee of course, and it was only after I killed the bee and began to head down the road that it dawned on me that the people in the other cars probably had a totally different outlook on what just happened. I could hear them saying, "There goes that preacher again, beating his wife." Needless to say, we left the intersection in a hurry. Oh, but that's not all. Apparently my wife and I are bondaholics because one of our best bonding experiences was our first vacation in a new pastorate in Arbuckle, California. For some reason we decided to reenact a creepy scene from a Walt Disney movie that we've now affectionately titled, Two Crazy People in a 1980 Overheating Chevy Pickup Truck Hauling a Disease-Infected Pop-Up Camp Trailer with a Screaming, Colicky Baby and Two Weenie Dogs Who Expel Gaseous Fumes Every 5 Seconds Because They Get Nervous Traveling in Cars Vacation of Doom. Trust me people. The whole Iraqi arsenal of weapons can't shake a stick at Wiener Dog Fog. Wow, we bonded all right, but so did our nostrils. And the point is, although we didn't appreciate these bizarre experiences at the time, we can not only look back and laugh, but we can actually see how these and many other experiences have helped us to become closer. Why? Because when you go out of your way to commit the time to share an experience together, you put yourself in a position to create a memory together. And when you share memories together, you naturally bond together. People of God, if we're ever going to maintain strong families, then we've got to start creating our own memories. We've got to take the time to share our lives together so that we can be drawn closer to each other. The fourth practical way to maintain a strong family is to set the Lord as top priority.
Psalm 127:1. Without the help of the Lord, it is useless to build a home or to guard a city.
Now, according to our text here, the number one thing a couple needs to do when they get married is to leave behind their previous priorities and get busy setting God as top priority. Folks, the absolute worst thing you can do to your marriage and family is for either one or both spouses to spiritually refuse to let God build the home. The Bible not only says that God is the one who instituted marriage, but that He's also the only one who can keep us from splitting apart in a world that's falling apart. It is from the Maker of the stars, not society, that we are to seek wisdom, direction and strength for our marriages and families. Why? Because don't you think the one who created people and marriage would know just what's best for people's marriages? It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Besides, what most people don't realize is that God has so designed marriage that when both spouses are faithful to set Him as top priority, they will naturally be propelled into an awesome unity. If you'll observe the marriage triangle, you'll see that the husband is on the left, the wife is on the right, and God is at the top. All three have distance between them. Now, one of the spouses could draw closer to the Lord, but the other one is still down at the bottom, and thus there's still distance between them. However, if both spouses seek God and set Him up as top priority in their lives and draw closer to Him, notice what naturally happens between the husband and wife. They are drawn together in an awesome unity. And folks, this is our choice. Today we can either set God as top priority and be drawn together in deep unity, or we can keep on listening to society and experience nothing but disunity. People of God, if we're ever going to maintain strong families, then we've got to set God as top priority. Without Him, we'll never have the necessary wisdom, strength, or unity to build a home that will stand the test of time. Without the help of the Lord, it is useless to build a home. And people, this is the great news. Being married doesn't mean your life is always going to be filled with personal pain and silent suffering. God never said that it'd be easy. He just said that it's going to take some time and lots of work. And if we'll just acknowledge the need for a strong family, and most importantly, invite Jesus into our lives, then we're finally on our way to having a marriage built to last.